Morning. Good morning and welcome to the dwelling place. The dwelling place. That's the title of the message this morning. It's the dwelling place. Do you know that you are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit? You are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, and we, as we've gathered, are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We sometimes forget that when we walk around going about our day, that we are carrying in our personhood, in our body, the Holy Spirit and all that He brings to this life through us. He's with us. And so the message this morning is the dwelling place. And I'm going to give you the 6 points that goes along with the message. And then the next several weeks, we're going to unpack those. But I got to give you the first thing first, the whole list first. I just don't want to leave you hanging. So Ephesians chapter 2 is where we're starting in verse 17. Ephesians 2, verse 17. It says, "And he came," Jesus, "came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him," that is through Jesus, "we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." In other words, all people have access to the Father through Jesus Christ if we're trusting in him. "Consequently, you're no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." So we're not foreigners or aliens. We're not strangers. We have a home in heaven, and we're not wandering around in heaven, you know, bumping our head into low-hanging bars or doorways. We know where we are. In the spirit realm, we know where we are. There's no confusion in heaven. So we're not foreigners or aliens in our home that we're waiting to get to, right? In this body, but we're already there in the spirit's what Paul's saying. It says, "We're fellow citizens with God's members, and we're members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord." Now that's us. We're rising to become a holy temple in the Lord. We're being built. And if you read the book of Revelation, the last couple of chapters there, it talks about this city coming down. It's the same example as what he's giving here. We've been built, and what we see in heaven coming down is us, right? All believers in Christ. And then verse 22, it says, "And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." And that's the key verse this morning. We are in the process, you, each one of you, are in the process of becoming a dwelling where the Holy Spirit lives, right? And that process will continue until we meet Jesus face to face, right? And then we'll be in his presence, a different dwelling place. But until then, we're in the dwelling place. You are the dwelling place. We, as we gather, are the dwelling place. And so what does that look like for us? Last August, I did a series called Abide, A-B-I-D-E, the word abide. Remember that series? And I talked about the A stood for acknowledge the relationship. B, bless his name. I, invite him in to speak to you. The D was to do what he says. And the E was to experience his presence, his love, and his power in your life. Well, the abide part is our half of the equation, right? We abide in him. So there's some things we have to do to abide in him. The things I just said, we have to acknowledge who he is. We have to acknowledge this relationship. But when we invite him in, there's something on his part that he does. And what he does is he dwells. So the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody will open the door and let me come in, I will come in. And we'll have a meal together," right? We'll have a meal together. And what he's saying is, if you will allow me to abide in you, then I will come and dwell in you. Do you see there's two sides of the same coin? So what does it mean when God comes to dwell in us? And those are the 6 points I want to make. 6 things real quick like. God comes to make us the dwelling place. He comes to dwell in us. The first one is, he comes to deliver us. He comes to deliver us. When you invite Jesus into your house, all right, he comes into the living room or the family room, whatever your front door is. He comes in, he goes, "Hey man, I like your house here." And then you start having a conversation with him, and you already know there's some things that you need to have delivered out of that living room, some things that don't belong there, right? And so Jesus sits down and says, I don't really think you need that here. I've got something better. Let's get rid of that, and let's replace it with this, right? You've got some fear sitting there on the coffee table. You're afraid of making a mistake in life, and I can see a bunch of things piled up there. Let's take that out of this house. Let's deliver you from that, and let's replace that with faith. And we'll just take them one at a time. I don't want to scare you. That's what Jesus would say. Let's just do it one at a time. The first thing Jesus does when he comes to dwell with us is to take the things out of our house, out of our heart, that don't need to be there. Now, we've gotten comfortable with them, right? We've snuggled up to those things that don't really need to be there. And it's kind of like the little woolly blanket, you know, you want to hang on to. Can I just hang on to it for another year, just one more year? I really like it. God says, no, you don't need that anymore. Let's put that down. Let's put that away. Let's take that out of the house. I'll expand on more than that next week. So he comes to deliver us. The second thing he does, he comes to work through us. By the way, this is going to spell the word dwells. You get that right? D-W-E-L-L-S, right? He comes to work through us. We're not designed just to show up in this life and let people wait on us. Although I suppose there are some elites in the world who think that's how it operates now. And in past days, that's how it operated. Everything revolved around the elites and whatever they wanted. We're not designed for that. The Bible tells us that we are designed for good works that were created, prepared in advance for us to do. Before you ever arrived on planet Earth, God the Father had a plan for you, and it was to do good works to the people you're going to run into at 12, at 16, at 26, at 66, at 96, whatever you are. These things were prepared in advance for you to do. So if you're working in a job right now, the car wash, right? That was prepared, Bella, that was prepared in advance for you to do. Mm-hmm. There are people there that you're going to run into that need, right, the presence of God in their life that comes through you. Right? So we're going to talk about that some more in a couple weeks. So when Jesus comes in, when he comes to dwell, he comes to deliver some things we don't need in our life. But secondly, he comes to work through us. Third thing, he comes to enlighten us. He comes to enlighten us. Paul prayed in Ephesians 1:18. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you can understand more fully who God is. Right? Let's admit it. We're dull sometimes, right? Spiritually speaking. Well, some of you are dull otherwise. I mean, so, I'm just kidding. If you're listening online and got offended, I apologize. Sometimes we're just dull in what God's trying to do in our lives. And we really are. We go through, and he keeps trying to get our attention. But he comes to enlighten us. I see you're laughing at him. Is he that way all the time? You just poked him. You just couldn't stand it, could you? Just had to poke him. I wanted to poke him, too, when I got to that point, but I thought it'd be kind of rude. But you do it for me, okay? God doesn't want us walking around in darkness and dullness, right? He says, I am the light, right? Those who walk in light don't stumble. He doesn't want us stumbling around. There's nothing about God that says, hey, I'm gonna trip Jim up today. Watch this. Hey, Gabriel, watch this. I'm going to make him run into a wall. No, Jim's going to do that on his own, right? I don't need God to help me with that one. God's not sitting there trying to trick us, make us stumble, do dumb things and say dumb things. He's just not there. He's up there shining a flashlight saying, let's get out of this dark corner. You don't need to live here. The fourth thing, he comes to deliver us first. He comes to work through us. Third thing, he comes to enlighten us, to help us to see. The fourth thing, he comes to lavish on us. He comes to lavish on us. Now, some of you have the mistaken identity that when Jesus knocks on the door and says, can I come in? He's bringing one of those little baskets you get at the grocery store, you know, that you walk around in instead of pushing the cart. You know what I'm talking about, the plastic things? that you can't find at the big box stores anymore. I don't know why they don't have those anymore, but they don't. But you can still get them at the grocery store. We're under the mistaken thought that Jesus walks up with that little basket and he's got a little bread and some cheese in there, and he wants to come in and have a meal with us. I'm here to tell you, Taylor, that's not true. He backs up a semi at your door, and he calls the angels and says, now we got to unpack all this in this house. Y'all figure it out. And angels are real good at logistics, so they know how to figure it out. Listen, when God comes to dwell with us, he doesn't just bring some bread and cheese for a little snack to hang out with us for a few minutes and then leave, right? He backs the whole truck up. He brings everything and says, we're going to have a meal. And he lavishes on us this amazing meal. The fifth thing, not only does he come and lavish on us, he lavishes his love and his grace on us, but he comes to love us. He comes to love us because some of us don't love ourselves. And sometimes when God comes to dwell, he's there to teach us how to love ourselves because we don't. Try something. This will make you go crazy if you try it. Look in the mirror, next time you look in the mirror, and say, man, I love you. And stare yourself in the eyes, right? See what happens. You can't do it. You want to blink, you want to look away, you're going, nah, I ain't doing that, right? Just try it one time. Okay, don't try it. Look in the mirror sometime and say, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, I approve of myself. If God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made, why would we say anything different than what he just said about us? Right? And so he comes to love us. He comes to teach us to love ourselves and to love our neighbors and to love him. And the sixth thing in the word dwells is he comes to strengthen us. He says in Ephesians 3:16, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being. I can't think of a better time in my lifetime when the church needed to be strengthened than right now. Mm-hmm. The church is under attack. Christians, believers are under attack around the world. And the world is under attack by the enemy. And I can't think of a better time for God to come in and strengthen us, because sometimes we get weak. I know I do. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I just get weak at the battle. You read the news and you go, I'm just weak. I can't do this. Things going on in your life. How long can I do this? And Jesus knows all that. And so he comes in to dwell with us, this dwelling place. He comes in and says, let me strengthen you. Let me strengthen you. And so he may bring up all these topics that are troubling you. And he says, let's work on these one by one. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, it says, may Jesus encourage your heart and strengthen you for every good word and deed. So, let's make sure you know this morning that you personally are the dwelling place of God. And you can't change that, right? Because he wants to come and dwell in you. If you're born again, he lives in you. He's dwelling in you. You can't stop him from dwelling. He wants to minister to you in these six ways that I've listed, plus a whole lot more. It says in Ephesians 3:17, he says that I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. As I think about the dwelling place, I think about where you're going this week, right? And so you're going to take this dwelling place, this jar of clay, this temple, and you're going to go into the marketplace. Just know two things. One, you're going to run to somebody else that's the dwelling place of God. Be sure you respect that. Be sure you respect that. When you run into somebody else, that's the dwelling place of God. Respect that, honor that, nurture that in them, right? I just had one of those encounters this week, and it was in the bread aisle. And wasn't planning on going to the bread aisle, but there I was in the bread aisle, and the gentleman was stocking and putting the bread on the shelf. And he said, the Holy Spirit told me, he said, just ask him how many bread companies actually make bread anymore, you know, how many parent companies. And I said, okay, I said, I got a crazy question to ask you. And I asked him, and he said, there's five, basically five. And he named them off and told me. And somehow we went from bread on the shelf to talking about Jesus, the bread of life, because of the Holy Spirit. He was a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. I was a dwelling place. And when we came together, we were the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Husbands and wives, when you go home and the two of you are just alone, you're the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Honor that. Respect that. Keep that. Nurture that. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for being the dwelling place, Father. And as we go into our marketplace, let us know these two things, that you absolutely love us and that you absolutely want to work through us. And we give you thanks for that, Father. Thank you for allowing us to be a dwelling place for you, a holy, righteous, perfect God inside of us, frail human beings. What good news. What a great plan. What a beautiful thought you had for us in designing that way. So come now, Holy Spirit. Let us understand what that means for us today. Let us understand what it means for us this week, that we are the dwelling place of God, and nothing can change that. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Emmanuel, God with us, God within us, we pray. Amen.